Well, welcome to episode 31.
You're,
even though I accidentally mistyped, and it's like if you look on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, it's 29 and then 29. Last episode was 30.
I don't think anybody's paying attention. We're good. We're good.
I was confused. I was like, wait, which episode am I? I'm just playing.
But welcome to episode 31 of the Not Out Here podcast. I'm one half of your co-host or your host, or whatever you want to call it, EZL. And then over here to my left, we got Jetty.
JRB, the producer.
And then we got a special guest today, which is really interesting because I think you're the first film camera guy that we've had on the show. Besides, I mean, I don't really talk about cameras as much because right. Jetty's like, does it record, you know?
But, yeah, I'm you know. But
we can get in the weeds, bro. I love that shit.
We got Calvin Tiger in the house.
Calvin Tiger.
Hey.
Or Tigre. I was
confused.
Man, it's both.
Tigre.
It's both. Yeah. It's like the word. It's like the word theater. You know how sometimes they spell it T-R-E. Sometimes they spell it T-E-R. It's both, bro.
Nice.
So you do music as well, photography, create your own stuff, do your own videos, like everything.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. So when did you start recording? Like, when did you? Or excuse me. Let me ask you first. Did you start doing music, or was it film and photography first?
Yeah, it was definitely video. So I started out doing videos like as a kid. You know, I skate. And I borrowed my dad's Sony Handycam.
Okay.
So I could start filming me and my buddy skate. And then I just started bringing that camera with me everywhere. And you know how like creativity hits you kind of like an itch?
Yeah.
You gotta scratch
that.
You gotta like get that idea. You gotta like create that idea that you have in your head. So I just started making videos when I was like, I think my first movie I made was, I was like 11.
Wow. Do you remember what the movie was about?
Oh, yeah. It was called Bad Mike.
Bad Mike.
Yeah. It was about this dinosaur that was like chasing these other like animals. So we had like a bunch of action figure, you know, like the little animals that you get at like the dollar store. It's
they don't
move or anything, but we had a couple of those, and we had a T-Rex, and it's just like me and my little cousin Ike. We were out in Kansas, and we would just like zoom in on the animals and then talk from behind the camera.
Got like a little voiceover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we put them on the skateboard and push them down the hill. And,
That's crazy. It's interesting because I know for me, I didn't actually get into film and photography until college.
Really?
Yeah, it took me. I was late in the game. I'm late to a lot of stuff in most of my time in my life. But that's interesting.
Me too.
So was your goal, like when you first sort of picked up the camera, you were like, this is what I want to do?
Hell no, bro. I didn't know what I wanted to do even after I picked film as a major, to be honest, because here's how it went. I was just like making videos on my own time for fun, and everyone, you know, is like, you gotta pick a career when you're, you know, before you go to school, before you go to college. And I was like, pick a career? I haven't even I've just worked fast food until now. Like, I don't even have experience with something, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even know what I like. But then, I was making videos, and every time a class would be like, hey, you can make a video for your project. I was always like, people were squatting up with me because they're like, oh, we're going to make a fire video with Calvin. Like, that shit's going to be fire. So we did that. And then people started from other class. Like, I'm not even in this class, and people were coming to me to make their video.
Wow.
So then I was like, well, man, maybe I should study that in college, because it seems to be the only thing that I like truly give a shit about.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, pursuing this creative outlet that I have. So I went to school for it, and even when I got to school, man, I still didn't even fit in with like the film people, because they were all like, cinema.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cinema.
Exactly.
And I was like, bro, I don't know, like, just hit record. Like, I got this idea, let's just go film it real quick, you know?
Yeah.
So that kind of led me down the path of music videos, because it's kind of like, music videos are like, in so many ways, experimental.
Yeah.
There's so many rules that don't apply to music videos. And so I kind of fell into that realm, because more than anything, I was just picking up the camera and messing with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been my journey the whole way, is like just picking up the camera and finding a way to tweak what's around me into something cool, or, you know, something that looks cool through the lens, I guess.
No, I dig that 100%. And are you originally from Georgia, or where you originally from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. 314. That's the Lou, baby.
Wow.
Can't
that's
fuck
dope.
With me. So that's the show me state.
Shout out St. Louis.
Dude, it's St. Louis, and I just moved to Georgia not that long ago. So
oh,
I still,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
okay. So I still got that look. You know, I'm still coming in with a lot of different type of energy.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because before here, you were in Nashville for a minute, right?
Yeah, I was in Nashville. So my partner, Morgan, Shout out Morgan Bossman. She's got a new single out called Miss My Flight. Go check it out everywhere that everything gets streamed on all the streamers.
Dope, dope, dope.
She was in Nashville for like 10 years. Mm. And we had, after we started dating, we had been talking about moving to different cities, this and that. And we both kind of had our eye on Atlanta. So it was easier for me to pack up my shit, take it to Nashville, stay in Nashville until we get the Atlanta situation figured out, and then move to Atlanta together.
Okay, so that was like a stopover. Like, this was the all layover. Planned. Gotcha.
Yeah. I've been planning on moving for like a year or two, and then, but I had to like pick the right city. You know, it came down to like film opportunities, to be honest.
Of course, yeah.
I was looking at Chicago for a minute because I got a couple of buddies that are in the camera operators, like Local 600.
Okay. Yeah.
The union up there.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about doing that. LA was, you know, I got a couple of people out there, but I just, every time I've been out there, I loved it, but I hear so many horror stories. I didn't experience any horror stories yet. So I was like, but I heard nothing but great things from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And once I came and visited here a couple of times, I really felt like it was for me, because it's not that different from St. Louis in a lot of ways. Like, St. Louis is still, like, compared to the rest of the country, like a southern, you know what I'm saying? Like a southern city. There's a lot of red brick. It's, you know, a lot of black culture there. And so, like, coming to Atlanta, I really felt like... I fit in.
Exactly. It was an easy transition.
Yeah, it was definitely an easy transition. And there's a lot of cats from St. Louis down here. I mean, like, we all know Nelly, right? Nelly didn't blow up in St. Louis.
He
blew up in Atlanta.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They were coming down, you know, playing their records down here. Because, you know, in a smaller city, when there's not an infrastructure of industry, it's like, how can you go bigger? You know what I mean? When there's not management around, when the people... The locals don't really listen to the radio.
Yeah.
The tastemakers aren't even involved. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time, when you have like a festival or something, you got people coming in from out of state and like deciding what happens. And
exactly.
They have like no context of what the local culture is like, right?
Exactly.
But in Atlanta, there's so much emphasis on the local culture.
Mm-hmm.
That was really what I was looking for. So I'm happy to be here.
Nice, man. That's what's up. I could definitely feel the St. Louis. I mean, really all of us, even Jetty, because we're all from like smaller cities, not like these big, you know, not like a LA or Chicago, because I'm coming from Arkansas.
Right.
And so
I'm not from a city at all.
Yeah,
I'm from the woods.
He's from the backwoods, from the swamp. He's from the swamp.
Wait, so, what are you saying in that freestyle? Are you talking about going back to the mud or like get muddy again or some shit?
I don't even know. But I'm from the swamp, man.
But I fuck with it, bro.
Dude, we don't even have a red light in the place where I'm from.
Yo, man. Do y'all even have stop? Is it more so just everybody's like?
There are stop signs.
Okay,
you know.
Okay. Everybody walking barefoot? No.
But I mean, I grew up on a dirt road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I can definitely feel that. Like, I know coming from Little Rock, North Little Rock, it was more like city, but it wasn't like, it's nothing like St. Louis. It wasn't anything like Atlanta. And so, because, you know, I mean, I don't know about, I've only been to St. Louis maybe like a few times, but in Arkansas, it's definitely a slower pace compared to Atlanta.
Bro, yes. And I've been to Arkansas a bunch of times. I've been to OKC. I've been to Tulsa. We used to tour, you know, I'm in a post hardcore, like, I don't even, it's like Rage Against the Machine, but emo kind of band.
Okay.
Yeah, we're called Ursa Major. So,
Ursa Major, shout out.
Yeah, we got songs out everywhere on all the streamers. Ursa Major. You'll know it because it's like green and yellow. All our shit's like kind of green, yellow. It's like a firefly color.
Gotcha.
So if you see Ursa Major, it's got the firefly color in the picture. That's us.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so we did a lot of tours around the Midwest, and we hit OKC and Tulsa, and we got a little taste of Little Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And we hit a... Man, we played this dry county in Arkansas.
Oh, no.
Man.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, okay. we can get into it. So I was thinking, it's a dry county. Who the hell is going to show up to a show where you can't drink?
Yeah.
Like, that's like kind of the thing about being in a rock band in your 20s, is like, we're drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a lot of it. And the craziest thing was, like, we get to the venue, obviously there's no one there, it's like way early, but it felt like a ghost town. I'm like, man, there's no one here. Like, I just walked around the whole like little downtown area. I mean, it was tiny. We all know what, like, you know, I'm sure you guys know exactly what kind of area I'm talking about. And I get back to the venue after my walk, and there's like 20-30 people there. I'm like, oh shit, okay. And then there's like we probably, this room probably held 50 people, and it was probably like 45 people in there. Wow. I was like, yo, what is this? And everybody, I was like, so what made you guys want to come out to this show tonight? Like, you don't even know any of the bands on the bill. They're like, man, this is the only place where we can drink. We got to drive down the county to the other county and get beers, and then we come to here, and we just drink inside this room, and no one messes with us. I was like, damn, that's what's up. So it ended up being like a really great show, man.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, so I was surprised by that.
That's what's up. It be like that, because I know sometimes for those smaller places, I mean, not a lot of people visit, you know, or they have go out of state or like another hour or two just to a bigger city to like see these big artists and stuff. And so, because I know all about those dry counties going to college. I went to college in Conway, University of Central Arkansas, where that was a dry county. And to get liquor, you had to go like to this next city that was like 30 minutes away.
Right.
Like, and there's this fine line where like as soon as you step over it, liquor store's right there.
Yeah.
Just waiting for you. So I know all about that, so it makes sense.
Yeah, man. So like those smaller towns, they definitely have like a slower pace to them, and even St. Louis has a slower pace. Like so this was my experience. I went to a little college town called Fulton, Missouri. It's real close to Columbia, Missouri, which is where Mizzou is at. So it was like 25 minutes from a bunch of big colleges, but it was a small college town. We had two colleges there. One of them used to be all girls. The other one was all guys until like the late 90s. And I went to William Woods, which was previously like the all girls school. So what I started to notice once I got there was like, I was getting music. Like I was coming back to St. Louis for like spring break and Christmas break and all that. And like, I would be catching up on music. I'm like, dang, I didn't know all this hot shit dropped. What happened? And then after like traveling a bunch, I started to realize like, okay, when I was in Fulton, that was like, they're like 10 years behind. St. Louis is like 8 years behind. And then other, you know what I'm saying? Other cities will be like right on top of it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You know, you got the Chicago, LA, New York, Atlanta type shit. But everywhere else was like far, far behind. And the further I went into the sticks, like the further and like the further back I was, like people were still wearing JNCO jeans, like not ironically, man. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, dang, this is crazy. Like, I feel like I went backwards in time, but, you know, that's just like small town living. There's nothing wrong with it, but I personally desired, you know, something more like up to date.
Exactly. No, I dig that 100%. It makes so much sense. So, yeah, because I know, like I said, being here in Atlanta, I mean, this is basically at the, I would say for a good, five, if not more so years, it's like the mecca of hip hop at the moment with everything hot out of Atlanta. That's like setting the trend right now.
Totally. Yeah.
And so it's one of those cities, but I definitely dig that, man. I do.
Yeah.
Jitty, you had something?
Yeah, so like with, because we were talking about this a little bit before the camera started rolling, but I was telling E about like how kind of prolific you were with like how many videos you shot.
And prolific?
Like, yeah, man. Hundreds of music videos, man. Like, I guess like, and I mean, you kind of already answered all this before, but I just kind of wanted it on camera. Like, what about that do you enjoy? What about that do you hate? And
like, what's your favorite part of the process?
Is it something that you definitely want to continue doing, or is it something you kind of want to eventually, like, semi-move away from? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been thinking about that a lot, actually, especially since I moved here. Because, I don't know how many music videos I've done. I should go count them someday. But I think right now I'm like, you know, 350, 400 maybe. I don't know. But a lot of those are like we talked about, like pull up, shoot, figure it out in the edit room, call it a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you can shoot a lot like that if all you got to do is just pull up and shoot and use your, you know, skills that you already got on you just to make the scene look cool, you know? Mm-hmm. But my favorite parts about it is like, I recently did a shoot with one of my favorite artists to work with. We've probably done like 5 or 6 videos together. His name is Bodine. He's a rapper out of St. Louis. He's in this group now called Black Voodoo, BLAQVUDU. Find them on Spotify. They got this album out called Voodoo, I think is, I don't remember the name of it. But we cut a video for a song off of that, and it was myself, Bodine, and then the other artist, her name is Bree Hernandez. Really talented singer and dancer. I loved having a set that was so small. It was just the three of us. So I'm like fine tuning the lighting, and they were doing like this crazy like voodoo style makeup, and they had like these costuming, right? So they went ahead and took care of all the costuming, all of the makeup. That was all them. Then I come in with the lights, the cameras, and I pull up to the location and I start like, you know, calculating, all right, like where's a good shot going to be? Okay, this thing, I can hang a light from this part of the roof, the ceiling, et cetera, et cetera. And being on those like small, like once you look at it back when it's all said and done, and it feels like it was like 25 people on set, you know, like I enjoy that process of going from like, what are we doing here, to look at this end product we got.
Gotcha.
Especially when it's a smaller set, because everyone kind of works like closely together. So that was like, so that's one part that I really love about it. I really love the freedom on smaller sets to like get things done in a proficient, fast way. Like you kind of let some shit slide by. Like when it comes to lighting, you're not doing everything like so insanely perfect. I like that. But then again, I moved here to be a part of sets where I'm not doing the whole show. I'm not the pre-pro. Because what it has been previously has been like, people send me a song, I come up with the idea, or we collaborate on the ideas, but I have a lot of hands-on involvement with the ideas and the storyline, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'll come through and shoot it, direct it, light it, and then in the post, I'll do the editing, the color grade, and any special effects. And like that is just, I mean, I feel like I need 10 grand a video for like that much work. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
And then the after edits, because you're going to do the work and then they're going to be like, well, can you change this? I don't like this.
Exactly.
Yeah, the tweaks. And even lately, I've been making the content, like the vertical content. You know what I'm saying? I put the little, you know, like out now, link to description, like on the bottom half of it and on the top half, and like doing all that. So like, yeah, I got a bar in one of our songs. I'm also in this rap group called Tiger Nolo. Shout out Tiger Nolo. Yeah, we're Back from the Future right now. So Back from the Future Volume 2 out now on all streamers. It's spelled Tigre Nolo. All one word.
Got a lot of stuff I got to look up, man.
I know.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to have a good-ass time. So I just keep pursuing things that I like and trying to make them legit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you kind of mentioned one video that you enjoyed, right? With like the kind of the voodoo and the makeup and stuff like that. Can you talk about a video that went all the way left, like your worst video experience?
Yes, for sure. Wow. Yeah, so I'm not going to name any names because people tend to get their feelings hurt, but this is my experience.
Okay.
And you can't take that from me. So linked up with this cat, hit me up on, you know, probably DM me. I forget how we got to talking, but he was like, man, I want to shoot this video. I got access to like these exotic cars, private jet models, et cetera, et cetera. And I linked up with him and he was like basically telling me in exchange for the video, he would like to pay me with connecting me to the guy who owns the private jet and the people who get the cars. And he put it in a way where it's like, hey, if you secure this deal with me, if you need any of that stuff in the future, that's all free. You don't got to rent it from them, nothing. We can just, you know, by connects, make it happen. And I was definitely like, yeah, I don't know if you got that much pool, bro. Like, I just know people.
Yeah.
And you strike me as, like, a con artist. And also, like, I don't know. He was just dressed like it was 2001. And it was definitely 2018. So I was like, I don't know. I feel like you maybe not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it just felt weird.
Yeah, it just got a vibe. Weird vibe. But I thought to myself, like, man, if this is true, like, there's been a couple times in my life where I'm like, this feels like a scam, but I can risk like this, you know, time or this money and find out if it is a scam just to, you know, for my sanctity when I sleep at night, you know, not have any regrets. So I was like, all right, let's see what's up with this video. He's showing me like screenshots of conversations with him and people that have this shit. And what he's telling me, I'm seeing that in the conversation. So I'm like, okay, cool. So maybe, I don't know, it's St. Louis. You never fucking know, man. Yeah. It's like people really do sometimes have connects like that. And so I'm like, all right, let's try it out. So we go in, we do the first day of shooting, and it's at this like this hole in the wall, and it was supposed to be a nice place, but it ended up being a hole in the wall, like as hole in the wall as it gets, like,
oh, wow.
Like, you know, like literally a hole in the wall inside of this place. And first of all, I'm there for an hour before anybody else shows up, and I was there at 10 p.m. They didn't open the doors to this place till 11:30.
Wow.
And while I'm waiting, this dude is like standing out there. He's like, "It's cold, man. Hey, can I jump in the whip? You know, I'm here for the video shoot." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So he gets in, and then he starts like telling me about how he's been on acid for like 14 days straight. Jeez. I mean, like, bro, I love psychedelics, but I'm like, oh man. And he's just talking to me about like, I don't know. He was oblivious to me like side eyeing him. You're like, are you fucking crazy right now, bro? So it's whatever. So we go in, we shoot, and the girls that came, I mean, they were like, I was happy to have some girls there because that made the situation a lot better, but they kind of made it worse at the same time. Mm. Like, it was cringe. I mean, they were nice people, but like as far as making art and like in my artistry and like making a music video, is very cringy.
Gotcha.
So I was like, all right. But there was some fire spinners, so we did some fire stuff and it was all right. And then we had a whole second day of shooting that didn't go down until, so that was in November. We didn't have the second day of shooting until July.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yes, because it was like, you know, we gotta you know, line up all these things, and the dude was still trying to pull his strings or whatever.
Yeah,
private jet.
Right, exactly. So what ended up with the private jet? Dude was like, "I want $10K, you know, for the deposit in case anything gets fucked up." And what? Then everybody was like, "This is St. Louis, so no one's got that kind of money for anything."
Yeah,
creative. Not even a business with a marketing budget has that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we get to the second shoot, and he's like, "My models are coming, and they're dancers, blah, blah, blah." And the first model gets there, and I'm like introducing myself to her, and the first thing she says is, "I'm not shaking my ass on camera." And I was like, okay, no one asked you to do that, but all right, you got a problem with twerking, though? Like, are you, like, morally against twerking? Because I'm kind of, like, morally against people who are morally against twerking. You know what I'm saying? Like, twerking is like should be celebrated, and for you to look down on it, we're not off to a good start.
Oh Lord.
You know what I'm saying? So the models were not professional, which is not a problem, you know, but I would have expected some professionality. But both of them were like pretty like green at being on camera. So now I'm like, okay, we got people that don't know what they're doing. We shot at a hole in the wall that literally looks like a hole in the wall. I couldn't light it to make it look
make
nice.
It look different or cool or something. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then dude was like hyping it up. He was like, "Oh, I think Nelly's gonna come to the shoot because he fucks with me." And I was like, I was messaging other people in the group chat that I know, and I was like, "Nelly's not coming. Don't even it's not even gonna be a thing." So we get to finally we get to the shoot and I'm out there trying to make it happen, trying to make it look nice. All the cars show up, the exotic cars. There was no exotic cars. It was like a souped up Charger with underglow. So I was like, that is not an exotic. Okay. But we did what we could, and we did our best to make it work. And when it came down to it, I, you know, did the best video I could make, and it ended up being an all right video. But on the back end, for what I had to experience, it was like nothing but red flags the whole way through. Yeah. And even this one guy who just got to the shoot, he pulled up with these lights, these like DJ lights, and was like, "Hey man, you can use these lights in your video." And I was like, "Okay, cool. I didn't expect to use these DJ lights, so I'm probably not going to use them." Yeah. But the whole night, he was like pushing me to use his lights. I was like, "Come on, bro. Like, this isn't even your, like, you're not even in the song or in the video. Like, what the fuck?" So, at the end of it, he was just like, "Oh, you can just hang on to those until, you shoot my video."
What the hell?
And I was like, "We didn't talk business. We didn't talk nothing. You're just telling me I'm going to shoot your video. Like, we didn't agree. What the fuck?" So yeah, man, when it all came down to it, I was just like it was like pulling teeth or like chewing on tinfoil trying to make that edit come together nice.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I had to put way more time into it than I wasn't paid at all. Like, the whole thing was on the premise that I'll have access to these things.
People. Yeah.
And to this day, I still have access to those things, but they're not resources that I use.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if I needed a charger for, like, I've got friends that got that. I don't need to go through somebody else. I thought it was going to be like
a Lambo or Ferrari or something.
Yeah, exactly. Something like
private jet.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know what I mean? So I've definitely been through the ringer with a lot of videos where it's some bullshit like that where somebody hyped it up and it wasn't what it needed to be. Some, you know, people will be like, we're going to have 60 people come to this barbecue. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like 12 dudes show up and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to have to make this look dope in some capacity.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I've been fortunate, man. Like the last couple of years, it's been nothing but, you know, like all stars, people that really give a shit and like really
they care about the craft and everything.
Yeah. And I had to. I'm still getting those DMs. I'm just saying no.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. Is like I had to learn how to say no to a lot of stuff. You
know? That's dope. Because I figured one out of every two videos would be like on the bad side.
Mm. It started out that way.
I just kind of assumed.
Yeah, man. Definitely started out like that.
Just knowing artists and, you know, just how artists are. Because, you know, me and one of, you know, my other guys in the group, we do cover art.
Yeah, and, which is fire, by the way.
Oh, appreciate it.
I've been big. It's big, inspired by cool ass people, bro.
Appreciate
I found
that,
you guys on YouTube, straight up.
What? That's how you, for real? YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. It was Catch That Vibe.
I saw,
I was on a YouTube wormhole and I heard that song. I was like, yeah, this shit's fire.
That's dope. But I was just saying that we do cover art, but we just come across so many artists that just. I don't want to talk shit, but just don't seem there. Like when, you know, describing ideas or trying to describe what they want, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of times where somebody will be like, all right, I got this video or what I've been hearing a lot of lately, which kind of grinds my gears is, man, I want my video to be a movie. I'm like, that you don't have the budget. Yeah. I promise you don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
But it'll like what I come across a lot is people will be like, man, I want this. Okay, so I'm in an all white suit and there's a robot in the sky and he's coming down. Right. Aliens pop in.
That's hilarious.
And you know what I mean? It's just like all these ideas are like way all over the place. Or people will be like, hey, you can do green screen, right? And I'm like, don't even start this.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you have access to a no? Oh, we're not doing green screen. Because I'm not going to do like a shitty. I've done some shitty green screen stuff and it worked perfect when we went into it. Like, hey, this is kind of like the idea is like a shitty green screen situation. It's like funny, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like a goofy video. But then so many people come with like these ideas that take themselves way too serious. You know what I mean? And that's another thing too, is like as a director, I'll be on set like, oh yeah, I like that goofy thing. Do that goofy thing again. And then, you know, I'll put it in the edit and they'll be like, can you take that goofy thing out, bro? it takes away from my hard exterior that everyone knows me by. And I'm like, I think it shows your character, but I don't know. I think it, you know what I mean? Like people are afraid to be silly because it's not serious.
Yeah.
And serious is like where they feel comfortable. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, you need to be entertaining whichever way. So if it's not working on the serious end, let's try something goofy.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So
I dig that. That's hilarious, all the stories.
Dude, it goes all the way around. Like, I got, music video stories for days, bro.
That's dope. That's hilarious.
All right, I got one more question.
Okay.
Video-related question.
Let's get it.
Uh-oh.
How many guns have been pointed at you in
man.
Music videos?
Too many. Man, I'll tell you what, though. I have a whole routine. So I usually have an assistant with me. You know, pre-COVID, I always had an assistant with me because I got to the point, you know, like I made a little name for myself and I had a couple people that I trusted to come and be on set and just be like the all around helper.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my guy, J-Wash. Shout out to Miranda Mungia. These are people that helped me a lot in that capacity. So I would always do this. I would go like, all right, we're about to start the shots with the guns in them, all guns on the table. Then I would go through and I would personally check every one of them, check the chamber, pull, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take, you know, do the whole thing. And then I would have J-Wash come behind me and double check all the guns and everything.
I know. I've been in that situation where guns pointed at me. But see, I didn't know that it was a real gun until after the fact. It was loaded and everything.
Yeah.
So I got lucky. So
yeah, definitely. I always check. I'm like, I'll like straight stop the take. Like, hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's empty this.
Let me just, you know, double check everything. So that's usually what I did.
But
I got a lot of guns pointed at me.
That's wild. That's hilarious.
Especially in St. Louis, like in Missouri, there's no conceal laws. You can it's open carry.
Really?
Dead ass. So like, you know, motherfuckers out there with like ARs on their back just walking down the street. Okay.
just in case.
Yeah, if it's a white man, they let it happen. But
no, of course.
But if it's, you know, my black brethren, they always get stopped. So
yeah,
that's, you know, that's just, that's the nature of the game, I guess.
That's wild. So how long would you say you've been shooting videos for? Like, how many years would you say you've been in the game?
Man, I've been doing it since I was a kid. So, like, honestly, like, probably, like, I've been doing it professionally like, yeah, for myself since 2015. I've been self-employed since 2015, you know what I'm saying? So we're coming up on, what, 6 years in July? So, but I've been shooting videos since I was a kid, man.
Okay. Like,
I just recently found all these tapes, like these old, like little high 8mm tapes that I had from when I was a kid. I got like 12 of them.
Oh, wow.
And I got two of them digitized so far. I got to get the others ones, like done. You know what I'm saying? But I'm excited to see like all the footage that's on there. Half of it are like my little league football highlights.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was crazy, actually. I got this tape because, man, I was an athlete my whole life. Like, pretty much up until, like, I had a track and field scholarship. Like, you know, football was my shit. I was, like, all conference in high school.
Wow.
You know, on the squad. So, I open up this tape. And I'm watching it back. And, like, the first thing I see is my little league self, like, score a fucking touchdown. I was like, yeah, I forgot that I've been a G since the get-go. So, what's up? What's happening? Motherfuckers want to count me out. Yeah, right.
That's
I've been
crazy.
Winning since the day I was born, baby.
You got to put the hat on after you say that, man.
That's right. Hey,
that's a moment right there.
Up there, just put it on. There you go. There you go.
So what's happening?
So then that brings me to ask you, so since you've been doing film and shooting videos for so long, I know, as you probably know, in the film photography world, people always, for some reason, got to pick sides as far as, like, what camera they use, like, the brand. If for some reason, they're like, team Canon, team Nikon, Sony, whatever. Yeah. What do you shoot with?
Sony. All day. Yeah, man. Like I said, I started out with the Handycam.
Yeah.
And I had a little JVC camcorder for a little bit, but it didn't stack up to my Sony Handycam. So then when it came time for me to buy my first camera, which was a Sony A65 DSLR, it was basically the Canon T5i.
Gotcha.
But the Sony version, I bought that in 2013. Yeah, I went in there expecting to get a Canon, expecting to get like the T4i, T5i, because that's what I was familiar with.
Yeah.
But the guy in the store kind of sold me on Sony. I told him I wanted to do video, and at the time I didn't know enough about cameras to know, like, there's different factions. There's like, your video people are with Sony, your photo people are with Nikon, your, you know, industry people are with Canon, etc. So I copped the Sony, and then, you know, once the mirrorlesses came out, and then I, you know, eventually I jumped up and got the A7 III. And what's been great about that, I know this is like gonna be blasphemy to the video world, but like, I do a lot of run and gun music videos. So for me, the color grading is like, to shoot on a flat profile, you got to have your light like really perfect for that.
Yeah.
And the times that I shot on a flat profile, I fucked it up like every time. So I fuck with Sony's like baked in colors. So, like, all I got to do is like tweak it a little bit.
And
then I get compliments all the time from color people on my color grades. And I'm like, oh, I hope they don't find out I'm
a
phony.
If you only knew.
If you only knew it's actually that Sony color. I'm just baking it, you know, I'm just tweaking it here and there. So, Sony is my preferred shooter. Now, when it comes to like shooting actual film, like 35mm photography, I don't really have a brand yet. I've been shooting around. Like, I got the Canon AE-1, like I was just showing you before. And I've got a handful of like Kodak cameras from like the 50s. I got a camera from 1916 that still shoots.
Wow.
Yeah, the Kodak Brownie 2A, which is crazy. I'm trying to figure those out, but I'm feeling like I'm probably going to be into like either Yashica or Pentax.
Oh yeah.
Even when it comes to film, cuz I see so much shit on Yashica and Pentax. That's
those tend to be a lot of like popular ones that people shoot with. And so, I mean, you saw mine, and so
mine's beautiful
and like it does everything I needed to do. And then like just the film that I use is like, I'll either shoot with Portra or I'll shoot with Fujifilm if I can get one, because they tend to sell out fast.
Yeah.
But man, it's so beautiful. It's something crazy. Like if you've ever, I mean, you've shot like photos in digital. When you do it film, for some reason, I don't know why, it's something different about it. It's like that emulation.
It's visceral, bro.
Yeah.
It's like there's a chemical reaction happening inside the camera every time you snap it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like the dawn of photography, like when it really started to pop off, like, you know, it was all on film. And so if you shoot anything on film, it has like this like timeless feel to it. Yeah. You know, you could take a picture of the fucking ground on a film camera and use that as album art. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's like it works. What I found is like, I spend all my time editing my digital photos to look
like film
photos. Yeah. But then I spend all my time editing film photos and making them look like digital photos. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So I don't know what that's all about, but I definitely, you know, I only started doing photography, like trying to shoot photos of people around the same time we met. It was like December of, really January 2020, was the first time I shot on my film camera.
Oh, wow.
I was like really hooked on that since then. And that kind of like got me into photography as a whole.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, cause I was like almost purely video up until that point. I mean, like my whole lighting rig and everything was all video oriented. I didn't have any soft boxes. I did have soft boxes, but I didn't have any strobes.
Yeah.
So, I've been like, you know, like family will come to me like, hey, can you do our family portraits? And I'm like, I don't really got the lighting rig for that, but if you want to pay me to do that, okay.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yeah, let's get it.
That's funny. You sound like me when I first moved to Atlanta in 2015 or 2016, I think. I was all video. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And because at first I was like, photography, it don't make no sense. And then it wasn't until, I think that was around the time that I really got on Instagram and I started to see all these crazy photos that other street photographers would do. And I'd be like, yo, how the fuck did they capture these colors? You know, where did they be going, running around? And then one of the things I started to do was just wake up like at 5 in the morning and like go into Atlanta and just like get on the train, on the bus or something, and just run around capturing anything I could capture.
Yeah.
And then that's when like that passion built up and you're like, oh shit, like I'm seeing the world different than what
totally.
I was usually, you know?
Yeah, man.
And so
I forgot about those days. You used to venture into the city just to take pictures.
Just to take pictures.
And then we would go with you on like a couple trips.
I'd be like, let's go on the top of this parking deck. Look, I'm going to hang over the side real quick. Like,
this guy is not, what's up? He would... Dude, there's an abandoned jail in Atlanta. You can't even go there anymore. The jail's fire. It looks amazing. The graffiti inside the entire jail. Yeah. But there's a part of it where you're like 40, 50 feet just suspended in the air. And he's just walking around it just like it's normal.
I'm walking around the little...
He's walking around
the
small ledge. And we're just like, oh my God, please don't die. Please don't fall over that ledge.
It was just... I don't know what it was, but I was like, no. Like, even though I knew there was like, I was like, I could probably grab on something if I fall, but I was like, no, I feel confident enough that I'm balanced enough to walk over these things or like hang over this ledge for a second or whatever. Like, I know my limits, you know?
For sure.
And so there was like a jail. It's funny because at that same jail, I remember we shot some photos. That's when I first moved. And then later I took Zaytoven, the producer, over there and we shot some stuff. And then I've shot videos and a bunch of stuff until like, I think finally like the police like locked it down. They're like, there's too many people coming over here. So they gated it all the way around and there's security cameras and shit. But doing that or even like on the sides of parking decks, like on top of the city, I'd be like, oh, I'd see other people do it. I'd be like, I can do that. Right. And it'd be scary and I don't like heights, but I'd be like, well, I know, like, I can only go this far, you know?
For sure.
So.
And, man, the way I look at it is, like, anything for that shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
there's literally, like, a Pulitzer Prize. I think it's a Pulitzer Prize for photography.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, anything for that shot. You know what I mean? Like, I'll lay on the ground, like, in the middle of traffic and be like, oh, sorry, guys, hang on. I got to, snap. You know, I mean,
like,
depending on the city.
Quick.
Yeah, depending on where you're at, you can do that. But, yeah, man, anything for that shot.
Exactly. That's, I remember, sure. Jay would show me stuff of like, cause like, I mean, here in Atlanta, like you can get crazy, but like in New York or something like that, it gets crazier. Like, I remember he had showed me this Instagram account of these people who, what they would do is get a couch. And then once they knew the timing of the stoplights, they'd be like, it's all red lights. They would throw the couch in the middle of the street and then they would all get these ridiculous things to pose.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that account, Jay.
I don't.
Oh, it was crazy because, like, the photos that they captured was so ridiculous and wild. And they would be like, all right, we got 10 seconds. Throw the shit out there and everybody get on their pose or whatever. And he would do it with different people. And so it was just, like, a variety of people.
Cool.
Yeah, it was, like, real wild, but it was super, super dope. So
that sounds really dope. I love shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, wildness, you know, just capturing shit on the go. So,
yeah.
But I dig that.
Man, I wanted to shout you out too because I found you from from Cool Ass People. So it's like I found you guys on YouTube, then I followed you on Instagram, and then I was listening on Spotify, and then they're posting like stuff with you, and then I went and checked out your page, and I was like, wait, are his videos like he just does a screen capture and then puts it up and then makes it transparent, so it's like VR? That's so fucking cold. Bro, that is so sick. Like, because most people it'll be like the screen and then like a little icon of them in the corner or something. Uh-huh. But you have it like VR. Like, I don't know. Like, to me it looked VR. Like,
do you know about the beat making videos?
Making videos where you have the screen pop up and it's like transparent.
It's funny. I actually got that idea. There was somebody who was doing it and I liked what they were doing, but like, no, you can go further. And so, like, it was this other dude. He's a producer, and he's a producer too. And he's like, I'd say he's popular. And but he would just real simple. Like, he had this idea. He's like, I just screen record, and then I take what I want, and then I make it look crazy. And I was like, man, you can take this shit further. And so, because it was a dope idea, and I was like, how can I do that in my own way? And so, I would try different things of just like all it is. I'm letting you in on a secret, everybody who don't know, is that all it is screen recording. You take it, you do turn down the opacity, right? Just to make it like a see through. But then I used also some plugins, Red Giant, Giant,
of course.
So their holographic or hologram looking thing, I'll throw it on there and like tweak it. And then I'll do different types of things to like messing with the color correction or whatever to give it like a different look and a different feel.
Yeah.
And then I just do all that stuff. And I would just do it to beats that I thought were dope, you know?
Well, I thought it was dope too, bro.
No, appreciate it.
Fire.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been. I was like, man, that would be cool to do like an edit video because I'm trying to find ways to like, you know, make content out of like my everyday life.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because, like, to be honest, bro, I love living life. Like every day is like I'm just trying to have a good ass time every single day, and I watch like a lot of content about other people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, doing similar shit, and I want to create that, but then at the same time I'm like, that's just adding like another fucking stack of work to my plate, you know what I mean? And it's like I'm sitting at this computer and then I'm watching a video of me sitting at the computer and I'm like, this is too meta. Like, this feels pointless.
Oh yeah.
In the grand, you know what I'm saying? But I really wanted to like take that a similar idea and make like edit videos where it's like a, you know, like a transparent like hologram screen of the edit happening while I'm like chopping up, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like it'll get to that. This is like on some technological shit, but I feel like it'll get to that point eventually where you can just be like, I want, and you can move shit kind of like right with your hands. Things.
Yeah, yeah. You know how faster I would be at editing probably. If I could just
cut and paste here and there.
Yeah, use this finger is cut, this finger is spliced, this finger is slide. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some shit like that.
No, and it's funny because like, so with that, I actually was just trying things, and I'm very big on being efficient, but as quickly as possible. Cause like for me, certain things take too long, and you can sort of like agree with this. I think is with a lot of like visual effects, some of that shit takes forever. And like I was like, okay, what can I? It's almost like trying to do like get the most bang for your buck
for sure.
And so I learned how to do it, and at first I was slow, but then I was like, okay, well, there's certain steps that I really don't need to do. For example, like there's a lot of stuff in videos that, because we're behind the camera and we know how to edit and stuff, we will catch certain things, but the average person is not going to know
for
certain things. So I'm like, well, I can leave this in, or I can do things like this. And so I had a system where I'd be like, cut, cut, cut. It's done in 30 minutes. And then I get it done because I knew exactly what I had to do. Because like I think after a while, I just got tired. I was like, why am I taking hours just to do
for
this thing?
Man, that's the thing, bro. I don't know, like, if I'm just, like, old school, you know, I just turned 30 in November. So definitely compared to a lot of the cats that are out there editing now that grew up editing on their phones. Like, I got my first editor when I was, like, I don't know, like, 13 or something. It was, like, CyberLink PowerDirector, and it didn't even really work. Like, you know what I mean? It was, like, it was real challenging to operate. So I didn't for real, like, get into editing until I was, like, in my late teens. But even then, it was like it was like Windows Movie Maker, you know. I was limited by what was there. So nowadays I get in and I go to edit, and it takes me sometimes like the most amount of hours. Like,
oh, yeah.
Probably over a series of a couple of days. Like, I'll put in like 10 to 14 hours in an edit.
Oh, yeah.
Just to feel like comfortable with it. And then I'm like, man, did I really need to take that long? Like, maybe I could streamline my process a little bit better. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Normally what I do when I edit, especially with music videos, is, you know, when there's performances, I'll go in and I'll stack all the performances on top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sync them up and they're all stacked. So you literally have the files on top. And then I'll go through and like kind of feel where the music is telling me there needs to be a cut at.
Uh-huh.
And then just go through.
And then just chop.
Just chop it up and see which... You know what I'm saying? Cut, or like which moments are the best.
Yeah.
Keep in the best moments, then like throw B-roll over the top, you know, add B-roll into there.
Oh, yeah.
And then tweak a couple things from there. But I don't know if that's like the most proficient process for editing, because I see other people just go in there and grab like one clip, put it in. I'm like, is that faster? Because like for me, it feels like it wouldn't be efficient to like keep grabbing one clip here and one clip there and add it in. But I see people doing edits and like... You know, just a couple of hours doing it that way.
You could do that, or like I would say, there's two things I would say. One, that's why I think we spoke about it before we started recording, was pre-production is very important.
The most important.
People don't realize
how
important it is.
You don't know.
Just wing it.
See, and like it's funny because like I think I've worked with Jay so much as far as like doing photos or taking a video or something, where like he'll be like, we're just gonna wing it, but then that I'm like, okay, so I can't get Jay to change
crazy.
That. It does drive me crazy, but then I have to find a method to the madness. I'll be like, well, I'm going to plan with some ideas as we're on the go, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get things done.
Totally.
But that's why pre-production is, storyboarding is so important sometimes, to you're like, no, this is the shot. This is how it looks. This is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say another thing that you could do that I kind of learned like in college and then after the fact was, one thing that I used to do when I would do videos, if I had a bunch of shots, kind of like you're saying, I would just stack everything and I would just multicam it.
Yeah.
So I'd just go,
there you go,
see it at the same time, be like, okay, this, now we're going to this.
What is multicam?
Where it's like you have, it's, you know how like when people do live shows, I don't know if you've ever seen, like sometimes there's somebody who's running the video and they can cut to whatever camera that they want.
Oh, three different cameras on the same. Oh, okay.
So they can be like, okay, now we're cutting to them. So in Adobe, I use Adobe Premiere, a Premiere Pro.
Same.
And so I'll be in there. Sometimes I would multicam stuff and it'll make a new clip with all the different cameras that you went to or the different shots that you went to.
Gotcha.
And so I'd be like, yep, that looks good. Next. Or, you know, however music video, whatever the tempo was or whatever, just see what felt good to me. And like, man, it cut down on so much. Instead of going through each clip or like looking what's on this clip, it's just like being able to see certain sections. Like I have four clips up and just going like in between them. And
I've never used the multicam function in any of my editors. Maybe I should.
It might help.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, and so like I know for the podcast, like I already have ideas of like, okay, when we get like a three camera setup, when we have guests like this, then I can just go there, throw them in there and be like, cut. He's talking now. Cut. And it's so much easier. And it just makes your life so much.
And I've edited podcasts, interviews, the whole thing. I definitely know what like that process is like. Being like, oh, now they're talking. You got to find like a rhythm. You got to be in the rhythm of the conversation with the edits.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll watch things like a live performance for example, and it's like a guitar solo is happening and it's like a close up on the singer's face and he's not even singing. I'm like, I'm trying to see this man shred. I need camera B.
Exactly.
Switch to camera B, bro. So like, you know, I definitely feel those vibes, like especially when I'm editing like conversations too.
Oh,
that's kind of the worst. I hate editing conversations though.
Actually, it's funny cause I actually enjoy it. Cause like I think one thing to sort of like bring it to this is like one thing so I used to do a lot of concert photography, like crazy amounts of concert. I was almost at every concert that I could go to if I could get in or finesse my way in. But sometimes other photographers, you know, you meet other photographers or other video people and stuff, and they'd be like, how are you capturing like these crazy shots? But I think I had the luck and the passion because, of course, I knew music and I knew how to do it.
Yeah,
you're exactly. Paying attention to the feeling of the song, the tempo of it. Is this a high energy song? Is it a low energy song? Is it something that's more intimate or something that he's trying, you know, the crowd's trying to get involved? And because I had that knowledge and that sort of that feeling myself, I could capture certain things that other people who maybe only did photography and didn't really do too much music or know about music as much as I did, I had an advantage in that sort of way.
Definitely. I mean, that's my favorite thing about doing video, to be honest, like, is filming music and being like a participant in the energy, in the performance without being a musician.
Oh yeah.
On the stage. You know what I'm saying? So like, when I shoot live sessions, I got to know when the guitar parts, you know, guitar solo is coming up, or if the drummer's about to go on something crazy, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you, like, one of the easiest ways to like know what's about to happen is like, watch the drummer, watch his eyes. What's the drummer looking at? Who's the drummer looking at? If he's like looking at the guitar player up front, I'm like, okay, I'm sure in a sec. Oh, there it is. All right. I'm ready. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or, yeah, just watch how the people on stage like look at each other, because they're like looking like, oh, we're about to go into this thing, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's a pet peeve of mine when I'm watching live music and it's not like the camera people are not music people.
Yeah, exactly.
You can definitely tell, and it's frustrating to me. One time I was, my band was playing on the news and I went up and we were in the, you know, they got all these like crazy big cameras. And I'm like, but that shit looks so old. Like, at the same time, you're like, why don't you guys just shoot on smaller, you know, rigs?
Exactly.
It would cost them more to get rid of the current rigs than it would to buy new rigs, right?
Yeah.
So I was talking to one of the camera guys. I'm like, yeah, man, so what do you shoot on at home? And he looked at me kind of crooked. Was like, what do you mean? I'm like, what kind of camera you got at home? He's like, oh, I don't shoot. This is just my job.
Yeah.
I was like, what? This is just your job, bro? You don't even shoot at home? What kind of...
Yeah.
You definitely aren't paying attention to the music in the performance then. I know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But I dig it.
I'm so fucking passionate about it, bro. It's like I was saying, it's kind of like the only thing that I really gave a shit about was like pursuing this like creative outlet. It's the one of the only things that I felt like I could do and enjoy every minute of it when I'm doing it.
Yeah. And that's the best part.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
It's that time.
I'm going to add like some cinematic music to the, start doing it to the, Not All Here Moments. We're at that moment where in
spruce
the show,
it up a little bit.
Spruce it up. We talk about, basically some Not All Here Moments. Jetty, you want to start?
I got a couple ones y'all reminded me of. Photography moments. I'll go really quick. I'll just do one.
Okay.
So in high school, there was this really strange teacher that came in, right? And super, super weird. I don't even know how to describe this guy. But he wouldn't let people take pictures of him. Because he said, when you get a picture taken, it captures your soul.
Oh, Lord.
And he doesn't want anyone to capture his soul. But people found out about this. So kids would bring cameras to school. And try. And dude, this guy would literally be like, no, no. But now that I think back, I'm like, yo, was this guy in witness protection? Or was there something so weird? Because he, you know how in the yearbook, you have to, his picture would never be in the yearbook? There's like no evidence this guy exists.
Huh. Whoa.
That's interesting.
So I'm thinking back, I'm like, yo, was this guy some weird...
He's probably in WITSEC, bro.
That's hilarious.
I wonder, yo.
Probably.
He didn't want people knowing where he was at.
He said, no, it captures the soul. I don't want my soul captured.
Oh, that's not like an old wives' tale. But.
But yeah, that's it. That's my Not All Here moment.
Like,
we'll just stick with that.
Bro, that's like when photography first like was a tech, when it was new technology, just like photo in general. That's like what they were, you know, they're like, we got witches, we got people just capturing your soul.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like snatching your soul one little 30th of a second at a time.
That's hilarious. I remember when people say, they like, no, I don't want my video. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's just a photo. But
man, and when you're running around with a camera and you're in like a public place, people will be walking by and they'll be like, oh
man,
like straight trying to dodge your shot. And the whole time you're like, this is an 85. You're not even in the shot. Like,
yeah,
you just walk on by. Yeah, not
they'll,
even there.
They'll do that. Or in the video, they're like, oh, I'm just gonna walk through the background. They try to be like, it's very funny. I'm like, look, if you would just walked,
if you would have walked, it'd been fine.
It would have been fine. Nobody's paying attention to you. But people do that. I don't know. Out of I don't want to interrupt. And I'm like, you're interrupting now. But
just go. Yeah.
Just go.
My favorite is when they're walking and then they see the camera and then they stop. They're like, oh, let me get out of the way. I'm like, if you would have kept walking, it would have just been part of, you know,
exactly.
Like,
they're like, oh, this is normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's hilarious. But you got a Not All Here moment, Calvin?
Oh, yeah. I literally wasn't all there for this situation. But let me set this up.
Okay.
So it's spring break 2012, I think. Yeah,
yes.
Maybe 2013. Yeah, no, wait. This is spring break 2013. All right. Okay. So this is my last year of college. We drive down to Panama City Beach. This is like my third time being there for spring break. So I'm like already hip. I know what the situation is. 14 hour drive. We drive overnight. We get there. It's like, you know, noon or something. Mm-hmm. And then we're, it's like time to start partying, but we didn't sleep though, 'cause we drove overnight. Right. So I drive down there with a couple of my friends. And as soon as we get there, then the girls in this room next to us start coming in. We're like, we're on this beachfront property. It's okay. Like, there's like a hotel and then there's like another little, like five rooms built closer to the shore. And we're in one of those rooms. It's like a private room.
Yeah.
Like it was like an Airbnb situation, but it was a hotel room. Well, these girls come in next door and it's like eight foreign exchange students that are all like the baddest, like woman from their school. Like all of them are like baddies. They're like all bikinis, you know what I mean? And they're all speaking like, they got these like beautiful accents. I'm totally just like, I'm like, oh, well, we got the best room in the house because we're right next to, you know, these lovely ladies.
Yeah.
And we're out by the beach. And it's probably like 4 or 5 p.m. at this point, you know. So we're I don't even know what that's at. Well, it's like, you know, like 30 hours, no sleep, something like that. And they're like, the girls are like, hey, we're about to go to this nightclub if you want to come along. And I'm like, best case scenario, let's go. You know, I'm like, they're vibing my energy. This is cool. Like, I'm in the room, we're taking shots. And I'm like, yeah, let me just grab one or two of my homies and we can all slide. And they're like, all right, cool. So I go in the room. And I open the door and like everybody's like on the bed or on their like little sleep area, like on their phone or sleeping. Well, it's like, you know, they didn't get no sleep. I'm like, okay, I understand. But I'm like, you motherfuckers are really not about to go to this nightclub with all these like foreign babes with me right now. Yeah. You're just going to chill here. All right. Suit yourself. I'm going to go have the time of my life. Peace out. You know, I was like slightly salty, but I understand that like, you know, I try the red pill and see how far the rabbit hole goes. Like, pretty frequently. A lot of other people, you know, aren't that way. So I was like, it's whatever. So I pull up to this nightclub with these girls. Mm-hmm. We took a cab van because there's so many of us. I mean, like literally it was like eight girls and me.
Wow.
So I was like, this is my chances right here are really awesome. So I'm excited about this. I don't see how this could go wrong.
Yeah.
And we get to the club. We wait in line for like an hour. We get in, and as we're getting to the door, I'm like the last in line, you know, I'm like, all right, all the ladies can go ahead of me. Like, I'm seeing the girls, like, get their ID checked, walk in, meet a guy, and walk off. Like, like that quick. Like, each of them walk in, and guys walk over, like, hey, and they're like, hey, what's up? And they're like, can we get you a drink? And then they walk off, and I'm like, okay, cool. But this one girl, she's been cool to me, so I'll have a friend at least when I get in there. Dude's checking my ID. I walk in. I don't see any fucking person I know. I'm like, whoa. Well, damn.
They disappeared.
They all disappeared, bro. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go get a drink. So I go up to the bar. And, you know, my drink at the time was whiskey on the rocks. Just straight up whiskey on the rocks. And at the time, I had recently had, like, a breakup from, like, you know, a couple of years. So I was like, I was living my best life. I was still fucked up over it for sure. But was a little bit, I was starting to be out of the woods. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna just get this little whiskey. And I drank that quick. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go get two more. So I went and got two more. And then, you know, had both of those. And I'm like, okay, cool. I drank three of them. I get down into this big crowd of people. And I'm just like on my fuck it all type of vibe. I was just like doing selfie videos of me like trust falling on people that I don't know, like in this giant crowd. And I was like kind of acting out, right? Like, all right. So that goes on for a little bit. People start getting mad at me and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just get out of here. So I walk across the street to the fucking Taco Bell and I barely remember walking across the street to the Taco Bell. I just remember I was in Taco Bell because I was fucked up. Like, I went the next day, spoiler alert, I went and looked at my, money I had spent, and it wasn't no three double whiskeys. It was like six double whiskeys. So I'm damn, I drank more than I thought I did.
Yeah.
I'm at Taco Bell. I'm waiting in line. It's an hour wait in that Taco Bell, you know, Panama City Beach spring break, right?
Yeah.
So I'm standing there and I make friends with these people and I'm like, cool, these people like me. Again, I'm not all here because I'm like browning out. I'm close to blackout.
Wow.
And I'm completely by myself. You know what I'm saying? My phone is dead. Like the whole shit. So the next thing I know is like these people fucking hate me. But I'm so drunk, I'm like, I don't even know what I just did to make them be mad at me like 1 minute ago. Damn. So I get my food or whatever, and I'm like, I got to walk back. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that far of a drive. So I'm going to start walking back to our hotel, and I'm walking on the beach with my Taco Bell, and then I finish it. And then I'm just like walking and walking and walking, and I'm just like walking for forever. And then, but I'm so fucked up, bro. And like the relationship, I just start crying. I'm like walking on the beach, fucking crying to myself, like fall down on my knees. Like, why, God, why? You know what I'm saying? So I keep walking. I'm walking for the fucking longest. And right there at the edge of the water by the beach at night in March, it's not fucking warm. It is so cold. I'm like freezing. I'm like shorts and a fucking button up t-shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah, trying to look fly. And I'm like, this is not working out. So eventually I get to the bar, not the bar, but the little corner store across the street from our hotel.
Okay.
And bro, I was walking for a minute, especially on the beach. You're walking slower because it's sand, right?
Yeah.
So I get in there and I'm like, yeah, let me get a bottle of Jägermeister. I'm like, when do you guys stop serving? They're like, man, you just made it. We stopped serving at 4:30 a.m. And I'm like, damn, how long was I walking for? What the fuck? So then, but I'm like on one, dude. I'm like upset. I'm mad. I'm drunk. I'm confused. I'm cold as fuck. So I get back to the room and I open the door, and I'll never forget, like, when I opened the door, I just saw like the doorway and my shadow, like long ass, tall ass shadow over all the people that are sleeping there. And it's like the way I opened the door too, is it kind of like open and hit the wall. I was like, what's up, motherfuckers? Like on some like salty dog shit, right? Everyone's asleep, passed out. I'm like, you fuckers fucking left me, and I had to just walk for like fucking 4.5 hours to fucking hate you. So I'm like, fuck this. I'm freezing cold. And I have a habit of doing this even to this day. Like if I'm staying in a hotel and we've been out drinking all night, I'll get back to the room and I'll just take like an hour hot shower. Like just be staying there in the water. Hot water, infinite hot water at a hotel, motel, you know what I'm saying? I'll just be standing in the water, like staring at the wall, doing nothing for like an hour. So I get in there and I filled up the bathtub. And I remember getting in the tub with the Jägermeister and being like, I'm going to keep drinking. Fuck these motherfuckers. The next thing I know, this is where I wake up and two of my friends were sleeping on the bed. I was sleeping between them, but on top of the blanket, with no blanket on top of me, butt ass naked, completely naked. And everyone's kind of waking up at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like a little room. It's like six people in one little room. And someone goes in the bathroom and they go, what the fuck? Somebody shit on the floor.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I was like, they're like, yo, Calvin, you straight shit on the floor last night. And bro, I was so fucked up. And I did not remember it at all, because the last thing I knew, I went to sleep in the bathtub.
In the bathtub.
I didn't even remember going to sleep. I just remember being in the bathtub.
And it just you woke up, you were in the
bed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And bro, I started blaming it on the people.
Oh,
there was this
God.
Other group next door. I was like, nah, man, it was Taco and his fucking homies, man. They came in here last night. They're playing a prank on y'all.
Oh,
and they're like, no, bro, I'm pretty sure you shit on the floor. So like in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck? So if I had to shit, and it was like between the toilet and the tub. So I was like, I didn't even shit in the fucking toilet, bro. I just straight shit on the floor. I'm a fucking animal. God damn it. So after that one, so literally I was not all there when the shitting on the floor went down. So after that one, I was kind of like, yeah, man, I got to, readjust. I need to recalibrate how I'm living my life, because that got a little out of hand right there.
That's wild.
I feel like it could have been worse.
It definitely could have been worse, bro. But I definitely, I was not all there for that.
Yeah,
I promise you.
Holy
I'm
shit!
I'm glad you didn't fall asleep in the shower in the tub. You know,
I know exactly.
Yeah, and like drowned or something. Yeah.
So what happened to the ladies next door?
Bro, I seen them the next morning. They're like, "Yeah, we had a good night. How was yours?" I was like, it was cool.
Oh my God.
It was cool. You know what I mean? That was.
Wow. What a story.
Bro, I can't even make that shit up.
That's
spring
crazy.
Spring break, baby.
Oh my God.
Rum Springer, baby.
Live it up while you're young.
That's what I'm saying, man. Just try to, my whole MO is like, I'm just trying to have a good ass time. Like from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Just try to have fun.
I dig it. Well, that's gonna be, this brings us to the end of the episode, episode 31 of the Not All Here podcast. Real quick, where can people follow you? Where can they find you? Do you want anything you want to push, promote, or anything?
Yeah, man, find me on Instagram at Calvin_Tigray. It is pronounced Calvin Tiger or Calvin Tigray, however you want it. I got a film photography account that's at Film by Tigray. Find me on YouTube, just search my name and then hit that subscribe button, because I got a lot of music videos coming out there from the artists that I shoot with. My projects, I have vlogs about photography, film photography, shooting different brands of film, and a bunch of skate vlogs. I'm relearning how to skate in my 30s, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're checking that out too. And also shout out to my fucking homies Drangus_music. They just put out a new record called DJ Yahweh. It's really fire. My girlfriend Morgan Bosman, I was talking about, she did some BGVs on there, so that's background vocals for non-music people. And yeah, man, that's probably about it.
Dope.
Yeah,
dope.
Check my shit out.
Nice. Make sure you go follow them. If you would, man, follow the Not All Here podcast on Instagram. If you're listening to Spotify, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you rate and review us. Really helps us reach new listeners. Follow cool ass people on Instagram. That's cool. ASSPPL. You can follow our personal accounts as well. Mine is It's Easy LELL. Jetty.
Follow your dreams first, but then second, follow me, JRB the producer, all the platforms.
Nice. Well, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Thanks again, Calvin, for coming through an episode.
Thank you.
Dope episode. And we'll catch y'all on the next one.
Yep.
Yep.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.